Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And we're doing this on a remote location today. Gotta love that, right? So hopefully everything goes well, you know, but we will adapt because that's what we do as professionals. So I am so excited today to have my guest on. This young woman is someone that I know. I know her through Healthcare Summit, which we'll probably talk a little bit about that because it is such a fun initiative that she and several other people have started that I think is just going to be one of the premier conferences that people who are in the healthcare industry with podcasts will be doing. So please join me in welcoming Sabrina Runbeck to our program today. Welcome, Sabrina. How are you?
I am fabulous. Thanks, Deb. And thanks, everyone, for joining us.
This is going to be so much fun, especially because you and I've never really chatted about what it is that you do. And so I'm so excited to know more about that. So let me tell people just a little bit about you. So Sabrina Runbeck is a clinician, a serial entrepreneur, and a CEO of Pulse Point Path. She applies her extensive medical and business expertise to drive health tech innovations, ensuring profitability and reducing investor risk. Her leadership and innovative 12-point framework not only advance healthcare technology, but also amplify social impact within the sector. Engage with Sabrina, of course, on LinkedIn to elevate your health tech venture. So again, Sabrina, welcome.
Hi. I am so excited to be here.
This is going to be so much fun, like I said. Well, you know, I always like to know from my guests how it is that they got to where they are today. And your bio didn't nearly cover what you have done. You are such an amazing entrepreneur and woman and medical. I mean, just everything you've got in there. So tell us a little bit more about how it is that you got to where you are today.
Yeah, I am also an only child like Deb. Growing up with the rest of the family are boy cousins. So the concept goes, well, if you just get good grades, get your degrees, have a solid career, married, have kids, your life all set. That's far-fetched from what I perceive a great life to be. I'm always someone who wanted to outcompete. I don't consider I'm the smartest in the family. But I'm probably one of the most connected and charismatic one, at least. So on that journey, when I actually wasn't born in the U.S. and end up coming here in middle school, life just simply changing and adapting in different location, different environment, and building friends was never an issue for me. But language and communication has also been part of who we are and our identity. Mm-hmm. When I was trying to figure out who I am, what I'm fortunate is every high school, college, grad school program all have a large network of community. And then I simply say, I need to tap into all that mm-hmm. and not just seeing what I have known in front of me. And that got me into a degree in neuroscience, music for the heck of that. I actually thought about going to music therapy when I was younger, but realizing I want to do broader scope of healthcare. So I pick up a public health master, thinking that diagnostic, that going into the community, figuring out what is going on and creating program has also been interesting. Plus epidemiology is something that's also was on my mind. But what I really wanted to do is the direct patient care. So I end up going to applying into a physician associate program, and then right away got into cardiothoracic surgery. So for the past 9 years, I have been doing heart and lung surgery and in across really 12 different hospital systems, either as someone who's leading the team formatting new program or coming in as an interim to give advices or just simply part of the gap that they needed. And truly figure out, especially in the earlier on the career, we all know cardiothoracic surgery is one of the most intensive subspecialty because things, it can change really quickly.
Right.
Now, it's number one killer in the world. COVID or some other diseases start trimming up. But still, if you think about chronic diseases, and we can say, wow, people that come to us, they don't have that much options. It's not that, oh, now you're thinking about improving your life, your diet, or whatnot.
It's yink, yink.
Right. Now it's like, are you too sick for us to even offer you surgery? Or you are really needing that because it's critical procedure that will save your life and it will make you feel better, right? Why do we even do surgery for anything? It's improving quality of life or extending your lifespan. Otherwise, it's not worth it. So when I got into it, I was so excited in a sense of I'm finally doing something. It's people think CT surgery people were tougher where you just simply have thicker skin. Things go haywire. You don't wobble, you just simply jump in and solve the problem. And that really put me into a great spot of I really never take things too seriously or personally, but the burnout doesn't mean it does not exist.
Right.
So despite all that neuroscience background that I had, when you got into the condition where you're working 80 hours per week, you're taking calls all the time, and there are transplants coming, there's like last minute surgery coming. You have to make sure these patients are pre-op appropriately before you do things. And the rest of the team is a revolving door of constantly getting new people in. How are you sustainable in the environment you create? I think a lot of us in these high intensive environment always say, well, we love what we do, but not how we do it. Now it's the environment that's been casting us. So instead of letting my environment restrict me, I decided to make some changes.
I love it.
So that's when I started going into education, leading and managing continuing education programs, helping to run these events. And eventually, I wanted to be a professional speaker, start taking these master classes, getting trained. That actually can be a career path. And as I start going into that realm and start publishing books on top of it and become international best-selling author, being invited to now national and international stages, it's about having your own platform, just like Deb has been running her show for a long time. So I started my podcast called Provider's Edge. How do we truly create just that edge that differentiates our belief, our mission, our goals to drive the positive change in healthcare and not just complain about what doesn't work. So that show, eventually in the past 2 years, we also turned into a TV show, live streaming on Roku, Apple TV, Spotify, those type of live streaming platform. And it's been exciting to have a system put together because at the end of the day, what I realize is I question what doesn't work. And not only I question it, I dare to find solution and create a strategic process to actually make things work. And a lot of us forget all these are transferable ability that help you in the next phases of your career, your life, and you can apply across the board. So once I start getting into that, I start connecting with a lot of people on my show, entrepreneurs, executives, leaders, inventors, and they start to want to come to me to say, hey, Sabrina, you have great connections and we wanted to get our message out there. How do I do that? Speak more clearly. If I go into an investor pitch, How do we make sure that they gravitate attention? Mm-hmm. So I started working with some of the startups, giving consultation advice. And what I found, the critical downfall for these founders and executives in entrepreneur is that they're getting piecemealed advices.
Mm-hmm. Right. From this friend, that friend, this conference, that book.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we're eager learners. Mm-hmm. We're eager to find the resources and listen to them. Mm-hmm. But then what? We are learning so much. We don't know which pieces actually puzzle together and make sense for us, not just this model someone created and it worked for them. So that's how Postpoint Pass was born, where we realized, wow, there's a lot of experts out there. We're all helping similar client. Mm-hmm. But when we have assessed when they need it, and then we refer this mm-hmm. company out to work with someone that we trust, mm-hmm. things still don't happen. They're still questioning, oh, mm-hmm. do I need this now? Should I trust this person? What is it they actually do? Then it's weeks and months delay before they even see anything mm-hmm. due to the lack of taking action. Mm-hmm. They're still figuring out the, do I feel confident, competent with that person, right? So we know the best thing we can do in business is the speed of decision. Mm-hmm. And then it's the speed of action. And then it's how rigidity and cohesive we're assessing the whole process that we are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Deb, like thinking about how you are engaging with these entrepreneurs or working with them, what are some of the crucial things when it comes to taking action or making that crucial decision or figuring out the right KPIs or assessing things that they have been doing mm-hmm. in your experience?
Well, it's exactly what you said, you know, and of course, one of the trickiest things with all of this is, you know, we have what we love to do, you know, and in your case, you're working with people who are working with patients, right? And, you know, and so they love that, but then they also know they have to do this business side. And that's where they get so lost. And as you said, they don't know who to turn to. They have to focus on, you know, other things, but they know they need to make their business an ongoing, you know, business. Unless they, you know, want to work for somebody forever, that's great. That works for other folks. But, you know, you're working with people who are setting up their own practices, things like that. And it is, you know, the big thing. I mean, we hear this all the time. It's the know, like, trust factor. And, you know, and so, you know, is, and especially when you're dealing with human lives, that trust factor is critical. I mean, we have to trust our medical care providers, but our medical care providers have to trust, as you said, that they're getting good information, that they're setting things up correctly. And, you know, and that's not their specialty. You know, we talk to a lot of people, obviously, on this program where they have what they love doing. They set up their business to do that. They love being, you know, doing that part, but then they get lost on the practical things of how to run a business. You know, and that's why I think we see so many that fail. It's not that they're not trying. God bless them, right? You know, they're trying really hard, but they just don't know who to trust. And so I love that you have set this up so that they know that, first of all, you understand that world. I mean, I think that's probably one of the biggest things is they know when they are speaking the medicalese versus, you know what that is, you know, because you are practicing. And so, you know, and then when you say, here's what we suggest you do, here is how to do it, they know you, they like you, they trust you. And so then, you know, you're going to help them through that path. But I think that's absolutely critical is, you know, getting that rapport built with whoever it is so that they do know, okay, Sabrina and her team are going to provide us with great information.
Most of the time, people are focusing on the to-dos.
Right.
Many people nowadays is out, how do we outsource? How do we pump more things out? Now, we believe we're focusing on the to-dos is important, but it's the not most critical because right. If you don't have the right high-level strategy, the mm-hmm. true path and roadmap to get you to the end goal, and you're not clear on that, you can do a lot of wrong activity and wasting money, human resources, human capital, and any financial capital, and not getting you much of ROI, especially in the innovation space. You can raise a few million dollar funding. You can burn cash really quickly And so when we are looking at when people come to any of us for advice, we know the thing that they think is the problem is never that one thing. It's always this 3, 4, 5 different angle that's causing the problem. And if you don't solve these other things that creates the problem, that one problem, then you're never moving forward. And most people in those leadership, doesn't matter if you have business background or not, when you're so inside the problem, so involved, you often cannot see the clear picture of what outsiders are seeing. So that's when we believe when you're building business, it's an integrated solution, not isolated solution. You can hire one business advisor, one operational expert, one CMOs, and one a CFO. But individually, they are perfect experts. But if you don't know how to help them to work together, both intellectually, mentally, physically, communicate and influence positively and translate their language to a language that you can understand because everyone has their technical languages, then it's also not helpful. So that's where Postpoint Pass is born, is we believe companies who has made strides, now they finally get funding, they're finally getting moving, they start making some traction. They're like, where do we go? Do we now have to figure out hire more people so we can fulfill our programs? Or do we need a more cash flow because we have a specific product to actually create that product so the supply chain can give back to actually sell? Or, oh my goodness, great, we have this big client with this large organization. Now we have millions of people to fill the program, but do we have the infrastructure to actually carry that out, right? So what's the stopping point and how do we solve that? We become those soundboard to very quickly, what we call in the beginning is called jumpstart, right? We want to jump you into that solid foundation. So we evaluate company, number one, how viable is that company?
Right.
So that's
Is it even going to succeed?
Correct. So as an investor, you're going to want to know this money going to this company. Is this ever going to come back?
Am I going to get it back?
We know at least 25 to 30% of all investment portfolio got nothing back. And really about top 5% is what's going to drive all your returns. So what about all those middle ground? We wanted to make sure we increase the significant ROI for investors. And also for all these leaders and executive and founder who put all their own money into it, they have to think as an investor cap at that point and stakeholder, not just an owner of the company. Because the owner mentality is, I'm just keep pouring more things in.
We'll make it work.
Exactly. But it's not logically sound at that point. So number one is how viable is this company? We use our 12-point framework, which means we break down the infrastructure in 12 different domains of business. What that means is you have three main categories of safety and security, visibility and sales, and then you have culture and human optimization, right? So the visibility and amplification is most people will care about. Hey, what about our brand, our messaging, our sales team, our PRs? How do we get more eyeballs us online? And how do we get more eyeballs through strategic partnership, through networking? And most people forget this part. How do you create the entire client journey that people feel satisfied, supported, you're so giving, And when not only from the first time they even get to know you, that cold phase, all the way to warm, to hot, to convert to a client, but it doesn't stop there. It start to deliver what you promise and how the entire process goes. So then they feel that you guys are doing everything you can. You're doing a solid job. Now they wanted to become a return customer, and they're going to want to share your...
Right. Oh, that good old word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that entire thing, people really do have to focus a lot on it. But we cannot only focus on that side and forget everything else about the business. Because the business, guess what? How sustainable is based on what? People. Human capital. Right. And human capital starts from the top tier of decision maker. So we go directly assess sustainability with four elements of a human performance measurement. So one is we do a holistic, right? So we are going to do spiritual. What does the spiritual mean for us? People do reversed creation. When they put business together and they're just like, this is our thought. We're going to create a mission, vision statement. And hardly ever refer back to it, right? And then you wonder.
It's on the shelf and gathers dust.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, oh, just something we made.
Right. Or they pull it out when they're talking to investors.
Correct.
Might be the only other time they see it, right?
Correct. Now we're saying you're missing out the point. Mm-hmm. And also, we shouldn't be creating vision, mission statements before you actually understand all the key stakeholders own personal mission, purpose, and on their vision of what their highest societal or personal wants, right? So we do the reverse way. We actually individually assess these decision makers' highest purpose, their vision of life, their career path, their highest attribute, because we build company and resources, not just randomly pull out, integrity, right? Just because you put words in it, does it have meaning and weight? Does that mean your team already embody these things? Because training someone to get to that point, to be confident, to be charismatic, to be self-motivated, it's difficult. You have to select those people already. So we will do that spiritual assessment on that. And then we do reverse engineer. Now we know individually what you want. Where's that common ground? How do we then create a company mission and vision so that will align all of you guys? So you guys all stay internally motivated and seeing the exact same end goal to work together and not what we call it. Well, we all know where the sun is. But we're standing on different planes. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean our perception of that sun actually looked the same.
Right. Well, and you know, we see this all the time where you know a company or an organization thinks, well, we do this and it's great. And so that's why people should want to you know work here, be part of this. Well, for some people, they just want income. You know, and that's fine too, as long as you know that that's what their goal is. You know, or maybe it's, you know, and we, you know, obviously see this a lot of times with entrepreneurs is they either want to build it up and sell it, right? You know, that's, you know, that is one of the primary goals a lot of times for someone to start a business is we want to get it to a point where we sell it. And then we either go on to the next thing or we retire. So that's going to be a very different motivating factor than we want to, you know, we just want to serve people and, you know, serving people that really should be, you know, that the, you know, in there. But yeah, we have to understand those and especially with your leadership team and your ownership team and all of those. Because if you've got even one person that's going off in a different direction, it can do such incredible damage and they might not be meaning to do that. But, it's just so I love that you figure out, okay, let's get everybody on the same page. We're not going to change probably, you know, if somebody is, you know, there for this reason, they might not change to another reason, but they need to understand, okay, there's all of these things that are in here. How can we blend all of those to make this a success?
Exactly. It's about individually, we're all driven by our own wants, desires, and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And when you especially put high-level performers together, it becomes what's in it for me, what's in it for others, and how are we really work together? And sometimes people not necessarily being very clear about these answers. And they're just going on their life. This one distraction comes along. We're putting out fires. And this is what I'm getting paid this way. And then they get super distracted. Why there's so many serial entrepreneurs and then people don't really work well when they are trying to manage multiple things, because we're not meant to be multitaskers. No. We're meant to align the right people, the right vision together in that solidness. Mm-hmm. And then us leader, even though people you don't think they're watching you, they are. So we have to set that bar into how we perform so the rest of the team can perform the same way, right? And so number one out of the four elements is that spiritual way of alignment, attribute, vision, and how do we gel together. Number two is what we wanted to see is a physical part. We understand nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. And nature creates all these psychological profiles and sentiments for us to say, okay, perhaps this is why you're doing this decision. But it's very much of a cerebral taught decision and understanding what it is. How can we combine who we are born with, with that energy activation? It actually helps us to understand what is the world is telling us, why. When a movie plays, everyone has a different little bit of perception of what actually happened, right? Because there are actually nine different ways of perceive the world. And that's based on the energy activation of strength for where we are born with. And it's a study, an ancient study from martial art to numerology to Pythagorean theory to many different ways that people actually olden days where they put consonants together. Typically it's nine. So why we are talking about physical is that when we are learning the psychological profile of who we are, despite how much we want to train our brain to increase these synaptic neurons to reprogramming, that's great. But in a moment where you're mad, you're disappointed, you're fearful, we default to our nature. If we can reactivate our nature into that more openness, peaceful, or higher level state and reset it, and guess what the power is? Then we can work so much more easier. We don't have to blame ourselves, sabotage our own success or others. And at the same time, it's one of the key things that we teach people on how do you actually physically and energetically in someone else's shoes. We talk about that all the time. If you want to influence others, you got to know what they want and how do they feel in their shoes. But that's just like a concept. Most people don't know how to actually be in someone else's shoes means you need to know how they feel, how they perceive things. How do they even communicate? Is the fast speed, very focused, very intentional, or we're driving, we're going, right? We must be there. Or we're more, let's see the whole thing. Let's see what we got here, how much resource we have, what's the gap? And then we harmoniously put things together. There are many different ways. And we have to be very quickly to increase our influence by tapping into others, simply based on the physical feature. And that's crucial. Everyone actually have a different little face of cheekbones, jaws, how you walk, how you carry yourself. That actually determines what is that gift and understanding that you're born with. So we'll do our spiritual, we'll do our physical because you can tap into your true self. Also do the mental side because we know there are going to be things that it's almost feel like out of our control. But if we notice that we're doing that, right? If we're overbearing, we're too controlling at the moment. But if we call ourselves out, guess what? We can shut ourselves down to say, don't be that anxious. Let's try to fix ourselves, do a mental fitness exercise so we can get to the next higher level of our work. And then lastly, we also do a skill set, right? Behavior side.
Right.
How are you? Are you that super independent leader that you actually don't need to wait for everybody else to catch up with you before you make a decision? Mm-hmm. Are you someone who is very communicative? You like to have verbal communication, or you're very much to, I'd rather just be in my corner. And what about other person, right? Do you need all the information before making a decision? But once you get all your information, you're there. Where you are someone who will trust that risk is okay, mm-hmm. and we will make what works. Mm-hmm. And there's many different additional four categories that we use predictive mm-hmm. index for to assess your behavior and skill set. So now we have a whole complete package of the spiritual, mental, physical, and ability that comprehends how you are truly a peak performer. Mm-hmm. Because when we know that, guess what? We can also typically save people at least 10 hours of work per week.
Right, because you've got them focused on what they do best.
Right, because it's both that inner focus and task to fall, like focus on what's the right thing. Mm-hmm. And so sustainability really is that mm-hmm. cohesive umbrella. Now we are thinking, okay, what's next in building business mm-hmm. is a part of, it's not just profitable for the sake of being profit. Mm-hmm. It's actually now looking into your infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Now we know the 12 elements of viability, the four elements of sustainability for leadership mm-hmm. and how we then translate that with the rest of the team. And then profitability means, what do you have to do to help yourself to be predictably profitable? And now feel like, oh, I don't even know where the reservoir are, right? I typically would say every business should save at least 10 to 15% mm-hmm. into an account that's a save specifically for when you don't know the emergency fund as right. well as
the
reinvestment.
COVID fund.
Right. And you have to reinvest in yourself in some degree to continue growing, right? From your business expense that you already set up, but you needed to have some buffer room to so how do we leverage additional resources? Or when things needed to, unexpected, oh yeah, we got a big account coming in. Therefore, I needed even more tools or more right. people to hire.
Yeah. And we Are can't we even in a big enough space? Mm-hmm.
Correct. Or if you have to have expand your warehouse, where are those money coming from? You can't be like stopped, and then you can't disappoint your client that your prospect just onboarded. Mm-hmm. Then that's a bad reputation to have, right?
And they'll tell others. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So being able to have that reserve and then predictable, mm-hmm. right? Just like the book, Profit First. How do you believe you have different accounts to manage in different purposes? So you always reward yourself for what you get and not feeling like I'm the leader. I pour everything out. I don't give myself anything back. But if you don't get any reward at all, then what's the purpose in building this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think people need to remember too that it's not just financial. You know, yes, obviously. There has to be financial. That is the biggest picture, but it's some of those other things you were talking about. Do you enjoy what you're doing? Maybe your reward that you want is 2 weeks vacation. Whatever it is, and again, knowing what's important to everybody else around you. I think that's one of the things that we are finally discovering companies are exploring is, this group thinks this, but this group thinks this. I think we see that a lot with millennials. Paycheck isn't the most important thing to them. Yes, we have bills, we have all those various things. They need to be paid. But it's the environment that they're working in. Is it supportive? Can you bring your kids to work? Can you work from home? Right? That's probably one of the biggest things that's going on right now. And as you were talking about this, one of the things that struck me is the fact that you're dealing with some incredibly intelligent people. I mean, they're not going to be doing what they're doing if they aren't incredibly intelligent. But they themselves cannot assess all of this on their own. They can't. I mean, we're not going to, we might be able to talk about our own weaknesses, but we really don't want to, right? But we also very much might not know what it, one of our strengths is, you know, because to us, it's just something we've always done. So that's where I love that, that, you know, you have to work with somebody on the outside to be able to go through and do all of these steps and all of these reviews, because yeah, we can't do it ourselves.
Exactly. Oftentimes, what we wanted to focus on is tap into your genius zone, and the genius zone truly will create freedom for you. Mm-hmm. And what we say is there are four zones. There's the genius zone, where is your passion and proficient must be two. And then you have the distraction zone, which is you think you're going to like it doing. Hey, this seems like, let me read about it. Let me go watch about it. Oh, there's another YouTube on it. Oh, there's another audio about it. Now you get down the rabbit hole of hours and then you lost track of what you actually need to do.
What were you there to do initially?
Right. And then you have a discouragement zone, means things you actually do really well, but you just don't like it. But you take on as obligation to say, well, I can do this faster than hand it off to one of my assistants or my partner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The word delegate is one of the hardest things for any person to do. And I don't care what level they're at, you know, and I fall prey to that all the time. You know, I might not like it, but I can do it faster and better, right? Because I'm the only one who knows how to do it. But you know, and it's funny, I don't remember, and maybe it was something that I heard not long ago. You know, we hire or we work with people for their strengths. So we need to honor them by letting them do those strengths. My producer for this program, Fabulous Example, she and I have been working together for 4 or 5, I've lost track, years, because we work so well together. You know, I did what she did before then, right? It had to be done. So I did it. But for me to let it go, you know, I gave her the framework, you know, this needs done, this needs done, this needs done. And then I let her do what she does best. It is different from what I would do, but it's better. But yeah, you know, we need to give people that grace and that honor to do what it is that we hired them for.
We wanted to create process and system because it keeps us in a framework and it's a measurable success. Once that high level framework is created, the individual experts in that domain that we hire or we contract or whoever's put in that place to do, that person becomes the boss of that, right? That person take the accountability and ownership. And therefore, we have to give them the space for their talent and genius to shine. Since we cannot be everywhere and be genius of all things, when we can just play into our own true genius zone, it freed up a lot of obligation, of the distraction and non-meaningful stuff. Mm-hmm. Especially most leaders stay in that dry fold zone of, I don't like doing, and I don't
I
even have
will.
To do it. Mm-hmm. But I still will, because it seems like nobody else can do it. But that's just simply a false belief we have in our head instead of opened up more. So when we actually do a project management for a company, and even just to help them to say, hey, you have a lot of stakeholders. You have a lot of people who want to take ownership. But how do you distribute the equal value of that ownership so people are properly giving the right profit share and appreciation, like Deb, you were saying, right? Some people's appreciation, just more freedom of time, or if they need help, you are there to help them, right? Mm-hmm. Giving them the dedicated attention. And some people do want to have more payout. Mm-hmm. But how do we do it in a way that's sustainable? How do we do it in a way that's fair? That means we create a framework. And that also have 5 major steps, mm-hmm. and broke down to 15 total elements. Mm-hmm. So what we end up doing is, number one, still start from spiritual, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing your vision, mission, highest level of purpose, goals, and then what's that high level strategy. Mm-hmm. Once you have that, and we also, it's not just writing these things down, it's assigning people's name.
Right.
How many people are needed to create this mission, the vision, the highest level strategy. Some people are not really good at creating strategy at all. They're right. just doers, right? Mm-hmm. And so then the next phase is that emotional pace. What do you truly desire, want? After you can say all your audacious go up there, but what about your true desire? Be honest with each other, right? So who's writing this? How do we assign these little components and also figure out your existing resources and the quality of the relationship, the team that you have right now? And also then, who's managing the emotional ups and downs, right? Mm-hmm. As leaders, actually, a lot of people, that's what I deal with every day, is how do you make sure the people that are with you mm-hmm. are performant? And when right. they have challenges, who is there the best to deal? So we actually assign people's name. Like just say you have three co-founders, and then you start putting names. Mm-hmm. Okay, this perhaps just Sabrina and Deb. And this is just Sabrina. There's a Sabrina, Deb, and Todd, right? Mm-hmm. And so you start signing. Now you start taking ownership of that specialty and domain. And then you move on to the third bracket, mm-hmm. which is the mental mm-hmm. development of project, which that means conceptualization, mm-hmm. detailed planning. What could be the KPI that mm-hmm. to measure success? Who's actually assigned to that when you need a quality control and when you need a problem solving, mm-hmm. right? And once you have all this front, now you have a big, big vision, you know your resource, you conceptualize, you have a small strategy. Now we can move to the physical part of development, mm-hmm. means execution, mm-hmm. keeping up the timeline, knowing how to help people to move forward, and a final quality check at the end, mm-hmm. and knowing now you can apply the KPI you created to know what's the actual winning factor that you needed to focus on. Now, most companies focus too much on this part, right? This fourth segment. Mm-hmm. They're all about doing more and more and more. But without this three... Right.
They're going to hit a wall at some point.
Right. Because you're just drying yourself to burnout and burning all the resources. And then lastly, it's very crucial. It's actually the energetic side. What does that mean? Is everything cohesively coming together? Does that feel like in mm-hmm. harmony? Does mm-hmm. it feel intuitively good? Mm-hmm. Are you creating the positive influence? Who are you influencing?
Do you like going to work?
Yeah. Is that everything that you're doing actually is meaningful the way that you're creating now, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the cohesively gelling everything mm-hmm. together. And again, you need to assign people's name into each boxes mm-hmm. so we know who's taking control and really going to step up when these elements need to be in place. Right. And now we're also fairly value every single frame mm-hmm. and step of the creation, and not just the doer should be getting paid, mm-hmm. but also the thinker, the planners, the people who do quality control and assessment, they all are valuable in this whole creation.
Right. Now, I want to go back to something you mentioned that I think does get overlooked, and that's the ownership of something. Because how many times have we seen companies, and I think this is why so many times they fail, is the, you know, founders, CEOs, whoever those, you know, and you know, on down the thing, we think, well, we've got this great team. We're just going to have them go off and do. We're still the people in charge. You know, they need to check in with us, you know, because we see that all the time. Well, I didn't know that we didn't have the right personnel in place, or I didn't know that we didn't have the right infrastructure. Well, ultimately, you know, it's like that song, you know, like the sign says, the buck does stop here. You know, just because we've got these great people in place doesn't mean that we still don't need to touch base on occasion. Just to make sure if, you know, is everything going well? What do they need? You know, and so I think that's where we do have some issues is, and it's not, you know, I don't think anybody does it deliberately, but we do. We think, oh, we've got this great whatever. And we don't need but they also, and you mentioned this, they need that support too. You know, they need to know that if there is something that they want to brag about or something that they've got an issue about, they need to know who to go to. Now they might know that, you know, they've got the authority, the empowerment, the whatever to solve it, but sometimes they still just need to check in to make sure, hey, this is what's going on. You know, so I think that's very critical for people to remember is you are still the person in charge. The nice thing is, when you've got such great people that you're not having to check in with them every day. I interviewed a gentleman several years ago on this program, and he said the best thing that he ever did was when he knew he could go on vacation and not be bothered, because the people, you know, he trusted that, and it wasn't that they couldn't be bothered, but he trusted that the company can function without him. Could they reach him in an emergency? Yes. And they knew that, but they also knew that, you know, and he said it was great. You know, he said that first vacation I went on where I didn't check emails and I only looked at my phone every once in a while, he said that was fantastic. But I'm guessing that also part of, you know, that spiritual, when if you had talked to him, was that he was transitioning out completely, right? And that was kind of what he was doing, was he was setting it up so then somebody else could take over. But yeah, we still need to support those who are helping us with whatever it is that we're doing.
Yes. So on top of the leadership, mm-hmm. whether it's people who founded the company or people who have stepped in to take on ownership, we see we need a critical three persona. Number one is that ultimate visionary. What's the gap you're solving? How you're unique. But sometimes they talk too high level. They're right. Talking to you in that spiritual language.
The problem in the world.
No. Right. And they're thinking so big that we're saying, oh, the people on earth don't really understand what you're saying. So you need the second persona in that leadership position where I consider them the connector and the impact creator. Mm-hmm. So those people are great at messaging, sales, connecting with others, bring the resource together. But sometimes because their connection is so wide, mm-hmm. they're not focusing enough on what is the need mm-hmm. now for your company. And so you need the third person who is the implementer. So the implementer can take these high-level vision, mm-hmm. understand the impact of what it is, and with this high-level strategy, then communicate with the rest of the team so they understand, okay, now on the day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, what do we actually have to execute and measure and creating success? Now, all three of them, usually we don't want them to burn out. So what they're usually missing in those company is what we call an integrator. So someone who take all the information, filter, process, and then they're the one who's keeping everybody else on track and communicate down. Mm-hmm. So that integrator, not necessarily a executive assistant. It can be your project management or it can be your operational lead mm-hmm. because your COO is a high level mm-hmm. strategic planning, mm-hmm. measuring wins. And then that person shouldn't be fluctuated down to the lower level of strategy and execution too much. Otherwise, they're not functioning at the highest, right? And just like your connector, there should be going to events, association, speaking, getting the right mm-hmm. image of what the company is. And then your high level of visionary should be the creators. Mm-hmm. Okay, now how do we assess the need? How do we quickly pivot? Well, we do need to stay on course, but I see this bigger vision. But in some point, the rest of the two need to help them to bring it out, focus it on this one right. thing to actually create impact of revenue and sustainability before you guys start going even crazier and higher, which we love craziness, but we don't like chaos, right?
Right. Yeah. Crazy kind of helps build chaos, tears it apart.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when you have these structure and you also assess yourself in your genius zone, you tap even more on your genius zone, you dive deeper into it, and you're already being assessed by our four elements. Mm-hmm. So you can be truly mm-hmm. highest performance, highest influence. And then the power is unlimited. And what we love is not just about saving you hours of week, it's truly have your business run like clockwork. Mm-hmm. So you can go on that 2, 3, 4 weeks vacation and only, like Deb saying, pick up the phone only as needed. I have clients come to us to say, oh my gosh, we do need that outside pair of eyes. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to sell this branch of business, but we feel like we don't have the right leader. We need to grow it to certain ways to have a higher evaluation mm-hmm. so we can sell that and focus on the other part of the business that actually does really well and then being growing 5 times faster than these other branch. Like, perfect. Mm-hmm. And that means we have to first look into what's that infrastructure look like, mm-hmm. right? Investor going to want to look at that things. So where are you wobbling? Mm-hmm. And then as you're hiring new people, those new people, because you're putting them on the leadership standpoint, we can also quickly assess them and then use their assessment, go against your assessment to say, how is that person going to gel with the executive decision team that you already created, mm-hmm. are they going to help elevate you when they're actually not going to work so well and bottleneck
you? They don't have the right skill sets, the right whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever that is, whether it's a communication or skill set, or just simply they are have so much past trauma that they don't actually value themselves or having confidence enough, then you shouldn't be hiring those people, right? And just because people have a great resume, we know nowadays everything can be generated by AI, which I'm fully support on leveraging AI to cut down the
tedious saving time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then that's why I even, as part of what my team feel like I'm crazy is, Sabrina, your timeline is much faster than our timeline. It's like, well, yeah, because if we're going to create marketing content, I'm going to create a customized GPT or customized cloud that feed all our data on how we want to write. How is this company? They already know exactly what is the data set. So then the quality of content, the blog, the message that we write is so much better and faster. Where you used to take copywriter to spend a whole week to write a blog, now we can down to, all right, 30 minutes, that blog is out, then it's just going to take us probably an hour to fix them to make sure it actually works well, right? So using AI can help businesses to up-level so much better, but at the same time, it all requires human behind it. So when we think about technology in healthcare, you do need a manual driver in that. We are not eliminating jobs. We're actually helping to bring more patients together, making the caregiver's life easier and making the physicians and other clinicians' workflow much more smoother to do the things that they don't actually have to do and then still get to a really high quality result. Right. And so that's what we are about, is how do I look at the bigger picture? How do we make sure you're company is in a good, solid, viable structure. And if you don't know and you're ready to sell or you simply wanted to grow, let's look at that first, right? Within 2 months, we can do that and evaluate your senior leadership team, especially if you're wanting to hire or adding. We need to already assess what you currently got. So then we can create these additional profile that will be able to fit in the best ways for that sustainability. And then we can say, okay, now take a whole picture. You have a roadmap now. You have a gap analysis. Take it back to your team to implement. If you don't have the resources, then we have our trusted consultants that can hold your hands and actually do the execution part.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and oh my gosh, we've only got about 5 minutes left. This has been such a great conversation. You know, it is ultimately, it's exactly what you said. It's getting the right people in the right places, doing the things that they do best. And that is a challenge. I mean, you know, especially when somebody's going to that next level, because they've always had Betty, you know, in charge of this, and Betty did a great job doing that. But ooh, going to that next level, that might not be Betty's forte. So, you know, but that's the hard part, is making those decisions and understanding, you know, we love Betty. It's not that, you know, but you know, that next thing. And so, you know, can we, you know, all these various things. And again, that's where we absolutely cannot do this ourselves. You know, whether we hire a company or hire an, you know, somebody to come in, you know, all those various things, because we are doing so many other things with the business. And, you know, and in your case, you know, the people, they're dealing with patients. They're dealing with maybe they're a research entity, whatever, but that's what they need to focus on. And so in the time that we've got left, tell us a little bit more about Pulse Point Path and the services that you provide.
We are a consulting firm with 12 board advisors. We understand that many companies in that growth phase cannot really afford to hire all the executives on the board. So we found out a solution that we can still bring on all 12 of us for you with the price of only hiring one executive, and to be able to look at how can we sustainably and effectively scale your healthcare technology venture, because we believe you guys are the ones who truly create societal impact in healthcare that are impacting millions when your solutions are out there. And not just like me, why did I pivot? It's because if I have to wait for that one patient to come to me, that impact is much smaller versus technology is much larger. And for our investor friends, we understand it's tough out there. The economy ups and downs. And we wanted to make sure that where your money is going truly have the solid business backed up for the intellectual capital, their human capital, to make sure these are the right people that you want to work with and not going to go against you every step of the way. And also they have the social capital, the right network they already built, because no matter what, we need to expand to get to the next level. And then they also understand profitability and not just taking the money and don't know how to spend or spend on the wrong things. And that's why they're not growing. So we wanted to be that and already are that solid entity to validate the right companies and putting the right people on the map. And that's why where Deb even led into Healthcare Amplify. That was my venture from all my years of doing multiple podcast shows and TV shows. We realized, guess what? All the tech companies need to have this visibility, but it's not just speaking on any shows, any stage, it's toward the right audience. Right. You need to speak on shows that perhaps only B2B or perhaps B2C, but even that B2C, who are the audience? Is that seniors? Is that caregivers? We needed to be able to be very intentional, targeted. And us, all of us in media who really truly believe we can use our voice to push forward our mission in healthcare, is on how do we come together to support each other. And we're never going to be in competition because people love podcasting. They often hear 4 or 5 shows in a similar topic. So we actually help each other to expand our audience, our mission together. Mm-hmm. So every year we're putting together Healthcare Amplify Summit to invite both those of us who are media personalities, producers, and show hosts in the healthcare space, as well as inviting people who are our listeners, who are supporters, wanted to learn more about media or tap into media to help increase your visibility and credibility.
I love it. I can't wait for next year. You know, you're already making great plans for next year, and it's going to be so much fun. Well, how do people find you and connect with you? And we will link in the show notes to your LinkedIn profile, but how do they find out more about Pulse Point Path?
We are on our website, Pulse Point Path, as well as LinkedIn. And I am personally very active on LinkedIn between our LinkedIn audios, lives, and just daily engagement. So feel free to send me a personal message. And this is a tip for everyone. Since we always get so many messages, requests for connection, make sure you add a personal message.
You on the podcast.
Yes. Listen on Deb's show and would love to connect. And otherwise, we are never understanding what's the intentionality of that connection.
Right. Yeah, because if you tell me that, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to say, well, what did you like most? So you darn well better have listened to it or watched it, right? Well, this has been delightful, Sabrina. Like I said, it's been so much fun getting to know more about what you do. because we've only connected through the Healthcare Amplified Summit. So it is so interesting to know more about what you do. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
Yes, I believe all businesses is about how do we truly become a market leader. And that means you have to consider how can you scale and not just be barely surviving. So despite the economic ups and downs, we truly need to measure our own viability, sustainability, and profitability from both internal and external perspectives.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it. Well, I'm Deb Creer. I've been having such a great discussion with Sabrina Runbeck of Pulse Point Path. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.